I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
This is why we don't listen to the Senate Republicans. This is why House Republicans have done a really tough job and the hard job of trying to find consensus amongst Republicans.
Throughout his tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro N. Mayorkas has repeatedly violated laws enacted by Congress regarding immigration and border security. In large part because of his unlawful conduct, millions of aliens have illegally entered the United States on an annual basis, with many unlawfully remaining in the United States.
The White House blaming Iran-backed militants for a deadly drone attack early Sunday on a U.S. base in Jordan near the border with Syria. Three Americans at Tower 22 base were killed, at least 30 injured when the drone strike made it through the base's air defenses.
The very first strike that hit, you punch and you punch back hard. What they should be doing is going after every ounce of production of those missiles. Wherever those missiles are, you take that out. You just keep doing, you take out the training sites. You go and you.
But does that risk escalating a war?
Does that mean striking Iran directly?
It means striking the resources that are allowing them to hurt our troops. That's what you're doing.
Condolences go out to the families who lost three folks who are military folks who are brave.
The illegal Russian offensive has been swift, callous, and brutal. It's barbaric. Putin's illegal occupation of Kyiv and the impending
ground operation in Iran
has created a two-front national security crisis that requires more troops than the volunteer military can supply. I have received guidance from General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that the recommended way forward will be to invoke the Selective Service Act, as is my authority as president.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily here live, Washington, D.C. Today is January 29, 2024, Anno Domini. The 20th century is over. It's done. It's buried. It's buried there in the dirt of Abbey Gate, and it's buried there now in the dirt of Jordanian soil, the Kingdom of Jordan, where three American soldiers have lost their lives, an entire U.S. barracks. Chu, struck by a Shia militia drone manufactured by Iran while they slept. While they slept. And this Wall Street Journal report that comes out is absolutely damning. Because what it states, and this is the question that I had all weekend, talking to sources, talking to people in the industry, talking to people in the intel community, how could this have happened? Don't we have air defense? Don't we have artillery? Well, the Wall Street Journal report comes out, and it says the U.S. failed to stop attack in Jordan after mix-up over drone identity. So that's your IFF. Identify friend or foe. But then we dig through, we find a little more out. We find that it turns out this drone was following another drone, a U.S. drone, as it came across the border. Do you get it? Show the map up, folks. Show the map where we can see where this is directly. Tower 22. Tower 22 is the new Abbey Gate. Tower 22 is where the 20th century died. Because if you understand that the mass production of these drones, and keep in mind, this is version 1.0, this is Mark 1 of these drones. Soon they will be equipped with AI. Soon they will be equipped with SEAD capability. Soon they'll start taking out our air defenses. They've already figured this out, boys and girls. They can penetrate our air defenses by piggybacking our own drones. They say, oh, that's too technically complicated. What? It's too complicated for them to send a guy out on a motorbike with a radio to say, hey, one of theirs is coming in. Bring ours back. Let's show this map of where all the attacks have taken place. Because maps cut through the rhetoric, boys and girls. Understand that in every single one of these instances, our boys are sitting ducks in the shooting gallery of the Middle East right now. And they've already proven that that air defense doesn't work anymore. You know how they used to say, go outside the wire, stay inside the wire, call somebody a fobbit if they didn't go out, et cetera, all that stuff. Guess what? The wire doesn't exist anymore. There is no inside the wire, outside the wire. It's all a shooting gallery. So don't tell me, oh, we got this. Don't tell me, oh, they're there for some reason. We know why we're there. They're there as a tripwire because Joe Biden and Victoria Nuland and the people in this crooked administration want them as human meat shields, as the tripwire to trigger a larger, wide-scale, more escalation of a war in the Middle East, war with Iran. And that's exactly what these people want. Nikki Haley is up there saying it. Lindsey Graham is out there saying it. John Cornyn is out there saying it. These people want World War III, and it's our job to stop it and fix our own border. Darren Beatty joins us next.
I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. I'd like to tell you a little bit about today's sponsor, Allegiance Gold. And if you're part of the Human Events Daily audience, you're aware of the disaster that the Biden regime has made of the American retirement system. Overspending and overprinting of money are the two main reasons American retirement accounts have lost 25% over the past 5 years. And what does it mean? It means you're going to have to work a decade longer to come out of retirement just to recoup your losses. Well, thanks to Allegiance Gold, there is a way to stop the bleeding. Gold is a hedge against inflation and runs counter to the effects of Bidenomics. In less than 2 months, gold has risen 14%. Believe me, I know the power of gold and what it can do for your family's future. Whether you prefer physical gold and silver or simply want to protect your IRA or 401k, I highly recommend the specialists at Allegiance Gold who have the highest trust rating in the precious metal industry. You won't be disappointed. I know them. I spent time with Mark and Michael. Their relationships are based on integrity, expertise, and impeccable service. So go to protectwithposo.com today and download my free wealth protection guide. I'll tell you everything you need to know about gold and the strategies you need to earn to protect your hard-earned wealth. You can give them a call if you like, 844-577-POSO. Protect your retirement with Allegiance Gold and get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying purchase. Call them today and begin your stress-free journey towards financial freedom. Go to protectwithposo.com. That's protectwithposo.com or call 844-577-POSO. You know, I don't think I mentioned it in the earlier part of the show here before the break, but I want to be very clear about this. As far as I know, and the Human Events team is researching this. We're looking into it. I've got a lot of if you guys out there in the comments know any better than us. As far as I can tell, this is the first time that we have had uniformed U.S. soldiers killed in the line of duty by a kamikaze drone. First time in history. For some reason, the headlines are not talking about this. For some reason, the mainstream media isn't talking about this. The New York Post decided to put Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce above the fold on the cover, and the troop deaths were put below the cover. So, you know, below the cover, that's below the fold. That's where they belong. That's where our troops belong. In a day where, because of this tactic, we've seen potentially what I call the end of the 20th century. Darren Beatty from Revolver News joins us now. He's an expert in geopolitics, an expert in the regime. He was probably, I think, the last Westerner to interview Imran Khan, the former prime minister of Pakistan, before his arrest. Darren, as we look at this situation, and we're getting reports now that the Biden administration promises an unprecedented response to these U.S. drone deaths, what's going on, man?
Well, that remains to be seen, because unprecedented can mean a lot of things. It could be unprecedented in its negligence, in its inaction, in its stupidity.
It could be nothing. So, yes.
We'll have to see what the qualifier is attached to. And, you know, that's just a matter of time to see. But it's,
you'll be shocked. It also, by the way, strikes me that it's the sort of thing you say when you don't have an actual plan yet.
Right. Right. No, it is a great filler word that somebody put in his mouth. So I'll give him that. Yeah. But you know, it's a very serious development. And it's, you know, you're rightly contextualizing it in sort of generational terms, or even more broad than generational terms, the beginning of the 21st century. You know, we've heard this thesis, you know, when COVID came, and there are a lot of things that I certainly think there's a case to be made that the true beginning of the 21st century is in the 20s, and the 20s are shaping out to be a uniquely unpleasant decade, at least in recent American history. And this is certainly in keeping with that, because it's very dangerous. And, you know, it forces us to ask, you know, very important questions that don't seem to be guiding policy and planning at the highest levels. You know, what are our people even doing there? You know, what is the purpose of this base to begin with? You know, this relationship, this specific kind of relationship with Jordan, with these bases and activity there, goes back to 2011 in the Syrian civil war, which is presumably over. And there's a lot of interest in containing these Iranian proxies, which, of course, only really have the weight that they have because of our previous Mideast blunder, which is the Iraq war. And then I think maybe the most important point that you made earlier, which is well worth repeating, is the function of these troops and these bases is precisely to serve as a tripwire. That's the security guarantee. And it's not unique to that region, by the way. That's a large reason we have so many troops in South Korea still, is that it's an implicit security guarantee. Because if North Korea does something, it's not just South Koreans who die. We want to basically manufacture a situation such that if North Korea attacks South Korea, American soldiers will die, and therefore there's a high probability, if not certainty, that the American population can be goaded into a war for that. That's the nature of the security guarantee afforded by the physical presence of our troops. Same thing with Taiwan. And so I think this kind of mechanism is lost on a lot of people. I think there were some I forget who exactly, but somebody on the campaign trail said, oh, you know, we'll sort out our semiconductor independence with Taiwan, and then we'll get our troops out. Well, that sounds perfectly logical in theory, but it kind of misses the point as to why our troops are there. Our troops are there as a security guarantee, you know, for China and Taiwan. So this is, I think, very much what we're seeing there. And it's a very dangerous type of guarantee, because we're right in the backyard of all of the mess that we created in large part, again, because the reason Iran has so much influence in the region is allowed to gain that influence in the aftermath of the Iraq war. So all of this mess really kind of forces us to reevaluate afresh, you know, what are our actual worthy and goals in that region, and what's the realistic way to achieve those goals, and what's the cost benefit sort of risk analysis behind that? Because it doesn't seem like there's any of this type of thinking guiding what we're doing there.
Well, I'll tell you that when you read Foreign Policy or Charles Lister, any of these guys, Charles Lister is a great person to keep an eye on, very similar to one of these Norm Eisen types, who really speaks with the voice of the foreign policy establishment. So, you know, they're sort of a mouthpiece for what the prevailing winds are within the establishment. And so you hear him going through this intricate chessboard. And it's always the intricate chessboard in the Middle East. You hear this, the British were obsessed with this about 100 years ago. Then the United States became obsessed with it increasingly after the fall of the Shah, which, you know, somebody helped. helped to occur back then. But, you know, this idea that well, you see, the U.S. troops are there because we're worried that ISIS could be breaking back out again, and we are providing stability to the region right there on the border of Syria and Jordan. If you guys want to show that map up again, you can see these strikes took place. Tower 22 essentially is the checkpoint between Syria and Jordan. This is where special forces would go back and forth during those counter-ISIS operations. So it obviously a strategic checkpoint in the region that's very... It's a desolate area. It's right in the middle of the three continent or the three countries there, Iraq, Syria, and Jordan. But of course, the area is completely destabilized. It's not like the U.S. Yeah. U.S. Canada border. It's as destabilized as our border with Mexico. And so the idea, though, and I said this on War Room this morning, the idea that the United States having a paltry number of troops, I don't care if you have 3,000 troops, I have 5,000, 10,000 troops, you're not going to stabilize the Kingdom of Syria versus the Kingdom of Jordan versus the Turks versus the Iraqis. These are issues and tribal conflicts and ethnic conflicts, religious conflicts that have been going on since time immemorial, and we are not going to solve them. However, we do have an issue on our own border that we could solve, but I tweeted this out, and I probably shouldn't be giving ammunition to the enemy here, but how long before Biden orders the mobilization of the Texas National Guard to reopen the border away from Greg Abbott?
Right. Well, you're absolutely right. It doesn't look like we can fix the issues in the region, but we can certainly make them worse. That's been proven. We have a proven track record of that. So we definitely, I think at first, let's adopt,
we're very good at that. Yes.
The medical understanding of first do no harm. And, nine, 10 times out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100, that means don't make it worse. Don't re-engage. Don't escalate. And another thing is, I always am very skeptical whenever I hear any justifications that have to do with ISIS. And again, like if we go back to the 2011 point where there's really kind of, we've always been involved, but that was an inflection point that I still think shapes our involvement in the region today. It was never really about ISIS. It was always about Iran and Assad, with ISIS often as a pretext. And occasionally you'll get, an honest, unwitting admission from military officials or even political officials. I think one of the overlooked or at least underemphasized WikiLeaks emails to Hillary said, like, ISIS is on our side in Syria, or Al-Qaeda, which is effectively the same thing. And so one of Trump's great achievements was getting rid of ISIS. And I don't want to detract from his victory there, but part of the reason it was so easy for him to do that is that it was actually, not that much of a thing to begin with. With a modicum of will, it could have been gotten rid of, which goes to show, among other things, just how uninterested the foreign policy establishment was before Trump in getting rid of ISIS. It was a very useful tool for them. And now it looks like it's emerging in that same context.
It's also interesting as well, before we're going to break here, we'll be back with Darren Beatty, but interesting as well to note that ISIS seemed to dry up right when President Trump ended the CIA's Operation Timber Sycamore, which was sending funds and ammo to that very same region. But don't worry, those are just moderates.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. We're talking with Darren Beatty. The unprecedented, I really do see this as a turning point in history, and I don't think that people quite get it yet because, and Darren, let's just look at the basic power dynamics of the situation. Drone strikes are something that for the past decade plus, the U.S. imposed and inflicted on various groups around the Middle East. Groups in the Middle East don't drone strike American troops. This is a complete inversion of the entire relationship between U.S. and the Middle East that really started all the way back in 2001. And I don't think psychologically the blob, the foreign policy establishment, Victoria Nuland, et cetera, understand it. Their response is going to be, let's double down. I just for the life of me don't realize or don't think they realize the implications of this. While, by the way, the our only aircraft carrier in the region is bottled up in the Red Sea because they're dealing with the Houthis and the Houthis drones. The Ukrainian counteroffensive can't even break out. Why? Because of Russia's drones, which, of course, are also produced by Iran. And as you mentioned before about Taiwan, let's see, do you think the Chinese would have a comparative advantage when it comes to mass producing small scale drones at a mass? I mean, it's a joke. Obviously, the Chinese would become the most powerful military country in the world with just drone swarm warfare across the entire continent of Asia if they wanted to. And so I think this is an example where the tactics that have come out of the battlefield conditions of Ukraine have really changed the game in ways that Washington hasn't even figured out yet.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, I'm not a military expert in that regard, but I think, you know, more so, we're going to have to look at what our actual goals and objectives are in the region, because, you know, that seems to be like the primary issue. What do we want to achieve? What are our strategic aims? Do they make sense? Do they make sense with respect to other geopolitical priorities? Do they make sense in terms of a cost-benefit analysis? All of these kind of questions that you think would be so primary and basic that seem to be entirely absent from everything that we're doing and everywhere that we are. I think we really need to revisit those questions on a fundamental level. And I hope at least part of the conversation that develops around, you know, the 2024 election cycle includes those kind of foundational questions. In 2016, Trump opened up a lot of those questions with respect to NATO, respect to the Iraq war and otherwise. And I think it's time that we get to a round two version of that conversation in light of, you know, these developments and basically the broader situation geopolitically.
And of course, it goes without saying that this, and I think I do need to say it because it's, for some reason, there are people who, even though we're only a few years away from it, the administration in which you serve, the Trump administration, I feel like people have already forgotten the history of it because we've been so inundated with things like January 6 or hoax after hoax. This idea that this was Trump's stated policy. He wanted our troops out of there. He wanted the thousands of troops to come home from this region.
Right.
And then he was stymied by people like was it Jim Jeffries, the ambassador, admitted on his way out that he was lying to the White House about our troop placements, yep, that he was playing a shell game with the numbers the entire time. Just straight up treason, straight up textbook levels of treason that they would lie about. These troops would not be on the ground there in harm's way after post October 7th to be killed. And I'm going to have a piece coming out at humanevents.com later today to say, look, if we do have interests in the region as a country, as an international arm, fine. But in this operational environment, it makes no sense whatsoever to have those troops on the ground in these destabilized regions. Look, There was a period of rapprochement when everyone was sort of fighting ISIS right after Trump got in, and you had sort of like the IRGC guys were anti-ISIS, and Russia was anti-ISIS, and Assad was anti-ISIS, and America was nominally anti-ISIS, where we could have actually achieved some rapprochement with Iran. We actually could have done that during the Trump years, and it, you know, maybe not as quickly as we did with North Korea or some of the other areas, but the path was certainly there. I worry though that with what the administration might do in the lead up to the election, Darren, I worry that they may do something that's possibly irrevocable with Iran.
It's possible. I kind of doubt it. I mean, it's always possible, but I would doubt it. But absolutely, it's important to remember that the geopolitics of the Syrian civil war was very much a part of the domestic politics during the 2016 election and the Trump versus Hillary grand contest. And I think we still see the reverberations of that in this base in Jordan, like right at the border with Syria and Iraq, this whole issue with the Iranian proxies. And again, the question is, what What is the ultimate aim? Because it's very clear from people like Lindsey Graham and otherwise, you know, the ultimate aim is finding any kind of pretext for the ultimate confrontation with Iran. And I think that's probably the aim of a lot of the Middle East, certainly the Gulf countries. I would say that's clearly an aim of Saudi Arabia. It's an aim of at least several political factions within Israel. And so the question, what is our aim there? Do we want
Darren, we actually have let me cut you off. We actually have breaking news. I don't have a photo of this yet, but we have the first ID of one of the soldiers who was killed on this base. And I know a lot of people were saying that this was a special forces base. We know that special forces have been used in this here in the past. That is not the case here. In fact, one of the soldiers killed was a 24-year-old female U.S. soldier from Georgia, African-American female, 24 years old, Army Specialist Kennedy Layden Sanders of Waycross was among those killed. So she was a specialist, enlisted. There's a picture of her actually probably outside. It looks like that might be the barracks or one of the bases right there nearby. I don't know if that's Georgia or overseas. This photo that came out, she's making a snowman. These are people who have families back home. And so for a Black American young female to be one of the people killed, I think is to your point, I think it's going to send reverberations back home that, it's not exactly special forces. It's just sort of regular kids going over there to be, again, these meat shields for the regime. And by the way, that's not how I view it. I'm saying that's how the regime views them.
Right. That's their purpose. They're the tripwires. And, it's not even as though this was the attack was intentional or deliberate or understood on the part of our forces. But if you have them plopped down in that region for long enough, especially given what the dynamics are now, these things are bound to happen. And they have the ready-made narratives to escalate, which seems to be what they want to do, or at least a lot of these factions. But again, I think the core question is, what is the ultimate objective? Is the ultimate objective a final confrontation with Iran, which seems to be what a lot of people like Lindsey Graham and others want? Or is it some kind of strategically palatable modus vivendi that involves a kind of balance of power? And that really needs to be determined before anything that we do on the ground there makes any kind of strategic sense.
Right. This is what led Trump to say, of course, you know, why are we invading all these countries with oil and we're not even taking their oil? Because as a businessman, you know, he's an opportunist first and foremost, which, of course, in the foreign policy realm lends itself to just, you know, basic old school imperialism. If we're going to go in there, why aren't we getting the resources? What do you mean we're right. building up partner capacities and exporting democracy? What is that?
Instead of plundering the resources of the vanquished lands, we yes. are plundering the taxpayer purse to the benefit of the defense contractors and the corrupt elites of the nations that we rebuild.
Precisely. And this is this goes back to the classic, infamous really now quote of Julian Assange, where he said the point of the war is not to be won. The point of the war is for it to be continuous, to wash the tax bases of the domestic domestic audience overseas and then bring up this. By the way, J.D. Vance was being attacked over this very thing where he said, he's getting community noted right now on X because he said, you know, we sent so much money to Ukraine and now none of it's coming back. The community note, Darren, came back and said, well, actually, most of the money sent to Ukraine is being spent on U.S. weapons manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So when you push back on them, they admit it as if it's some kind of gotcha on you as opposed to just saying the quiet part out loud.
Right. No, it's very foolish. And I mean, this obviously distorts what our actual regional interests are, because it's so confounded. You know, if you study something in space and you have the weird trajectory of some kind of celestial object, then you can infer the presence of something that has a gravitational force nearby. And in this case, that force is being exacted by the overwhelming financial interests of the defense sector.
Darren, yeah. Just to throw back on that, though, that kind of piggybacks with what I'm saying earlier, not just piggybacking like the Iranian drone, but the fact of the matter is the entire military industrial complex is justified and predicated on the idea that highly sophisticated, extremely expensive weaponry and machinery and technology are needed to achieve these overseas goals. But if we found out that, you know, the Houthis and a couple of Iranian, you know, backed Shia militia guys are able to destroy all of our weaponology and weaponcraft over there, then suddenly it really strikes at that question of why exactly are we spending so much money on all these systems if they can be destroyed by a couple of guys with AI and a one-way drone?
No, see, it just happened because we didn't buy the latest version of Lockheed.
The latest version. You got to get version 2.0.
You got to update
your operating system.
8.0.
Darren Beatty, Revolver.News. Make sure you are following this man. He will tell you the future before it comes.
Jack. Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack.
Thank you.
What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily, and we've just received word. We have just now received the information. Let's get the photo back up, guys. This was a U.S. soldier. This was a U.S. soldier who died in uniform. This is a U.S. soldier who died doing her duty, where she was sent by our administration. She's not someone who, look, regardless of our feelings of the political and geopolitical situation, I just want to come out and say where I'm coming from here is that I don't want people coming home in body bags anymore over this crap. I don't want people having to be in this position anymore. And when people do come home in body bags and Iranian drones are penetrating our air defense by piggybacking our drones, I say, hey, let's look at the situation and let's go down the trajectory of how we got here, why we're here, and why this is happening, and why this person's family is not coming home, and instead they are now going to be a Gold Star family. So explain that to me, because you're going to have to explain it to them the same way you had to explain it to the families of the honored dead at Abbey Gate, because we're going to have more Americans coming home in body bags before this thing is done if you don't get those troops out of there and get them to a place where they can be safe. Peachy Keenan joins us next. Peachy, you're the author of Domestic Extremist. You're the author of many, many articles, American Mind. Look, we just got this news. It's a little bit raw. You've talked about this. We've talked about it before. How should Americans feel about this? I'm outraged, quite frankly. I'm actually outraged.
Troops in Jordan, in Syria, in Iraq. Why are they even there? They're not being defended. I just read an article that the army won't send them the weapons they need to defend themselves from these drones. They have basically no defense system. They were offered like Iron Dome type systems. They said no. And so these kids, these are just kids, and they're sitting ducks. We have no reason. You know what I've written about. I'm anti-war. I think I'm worried about a draft. I have an 18-year-old son. Every day I check the mailbox to see if his selective service card is here yet, so I can burn it, you know, basically. It's very concerning. They are walking us into exactly what they threatened that Trump would do. He would start a war. And in my opinion, they said he would do, and he didn't. And here we have Joe Biden getting us into, like, I can't even keep track. I need both hands to count the wars he's getting us into. No country that relies on
I haven't even said this yet on air. I did tweet it, though, that because I haven't even dug into this yet. But, you know, the White House has notified Congress that the United States has troops on the ground in Yemen. So we've got troops on the ground in Yemen now, too. That's where the Houthis are.
Right. We know they want to, the deep state plan all along since John McCain, you know, bomb Iran. This is their second wet dream after destroying Russia. And they know that maybe the time is up. Maybe November is their last chance. And it looks like they are actually walking us towards this, which is like so terrifying. And like, who is going to stop this? And I just want to say, make one more point. This poor young woman, like any country that requires its young women to put on uniforms and go fight abroad in these godforsaken hellholes is not a country that I can even defend, that I can even like support. We cannot have young women doing this. I don't want young men there either, believe me. But I mean, the Air Force now has designed pregnant flight suits, maternity flight suits for pregnant Air Force women to go on planes. Like, what are we doing? These women, I'm sorry, they don't need to go into the kitchen, but we have to get them out of combat zones.
I mean, there's, you know, I'm just looking at some photos. It looks like her family posted some photos online. This was the, it looks like she's from that like Southern Georgia. So north of Jacksonville, kind of like Jacksonville metro area. So some of the Jacksonville outlets have it. 24 years old, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Serving a country, you know, seems like by all accounts, seems like a great person. Definitely like doing the right thing, One, you know, didn't go to school, but ended up joining the military, wanted to enlist, obviously got a good deployment out of it, you know, had some good training, was able to get there. And again, I need to stress this. The reason we have troops there right now is to exist as a human shield. And so when I was talking about this earlier, you know, it's one thing to talk about it in the abstract, but now we've got an actual individual from South Georgia, from the Jacksonville area, who was stationed at this Tower 22, Specialist Kennedy Sanders. Her nickname was Munchkin, 24 years old, 24 years on this earth, Waycross, Georgia. And she's not coming home. She's not coming home. Parents are getting Gold Star. Parents are going to get body bag. Parents got that knock on the door. All right. Parents got that knock on the door. She said, wait, I thought you were going to be on base. I thought that said she was a specialist, you know, not someone who's in. But this is my point. OK, there is no. And MPH, you know, people who have deployed, you know, it used to be, oh, you guys go outside the wire. You guys stay on base. You guys are FOB. But there is no wire anymore. The bases aren't safe.
They're really not. And I mean, I just don't understand, like, what's ironic is that if Trump was president, they'd be pinning like the death of a young black woman on Trump. But with Biden, I think this will be buried. This will be totally buried. But the ironic thing is, as they open up the military and try to get more, you know, DEI, diversity, women and people of color and transgender women into the army, Biden is going to be killing a lot more of his own constituents, you know, black women and transgender women. If they're all deployed, that's who's going to be dying.
And unfortunately, you see something like this. So this is why I played. So I've been playing now for about a year, this pre-creation that we made, talking about how because of, I'm getting so much trouble every time I play it. And I say the Biden administration, and it's a video of Joe Biden, which again is a, you know, what do you want to call it? An artistic representation of what it might look like because we already know that troop recruitment is down. We already know that motivation is joined down because of the vax, because of the DEI stuff, because of the trans stuff, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think something is going to do with this when we've got Zoomers that are being killed by Iranian kamikaze drones in the Middle East? What do you think that's going to do to recruitment, do you think? And this is the thing. People say, oh, you don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I said, excuse me? No, you got to put all this together, because it's what you just said is exactly right. If these people are not backing down. We got troops in Yemen. We know we have troops in Ukraine. Aren't they there? Special forces are there, of course. We've got troops in Jordan. We've got troops in Syria, which I don't even know under what legal pretense that we have troops in Syria, because we're certainly not there at the behest of the Syrian government. We've got troops in Turkey. We've got troops in Iraq. Well, guess what, boys and girls? If we don't hit recruitment numbers, now all of a sudden you're going to start hearing, you know, they won't use the word draft, right? They'll use some kind of euphemism for it. They'll say, you know, right, selective service, right? We're activating the selective service lottery. And I hope people understand that that's 18, 19-year-olds. 18, 19-year-olds, you guys go first. Then 2021, 22, when I wrote that script, I actually pulled it from the actual language of the Selective Service Act. So that's Zoomers, right? Zoomers were just killed, right? It was Zoomers who died at Abbey Gate. Now we've got Zoomers that are killed in Jordan. We're going to have Zoomers that are killed in Syria. So guys, guess what? Guess what? This is what your government thinks of you. This is what your government wants from you. This is where your government will send you over to die in your sleep. In your sleep, in a drone attack that could have been stopped but wasn't.
Right. I mean, Joe Biden is killing Zoomers and women of color. That's the headline. But why are we there? Like, we, you know, they get you to enlist so you can like defend democracy and like, you know, fight for our freedom. Is that what we're doing there? Like, what are we doing in Jordan? Nothing. There's no national interest to have like 10, 20-year-olds defending some outpost in a desert, you know, 10,000 miles away or whatever it is. What are they defending? They're not defending my freedom. They're not defending my like democracy. They're not defending the Constitution. What in the world are they defending? And why should I let my son go sign up to fight for that? Whatever it is.
So, right. And I could go through the, you know, the official foreign policy notification saying that we're keeping the Kingdom of Jordan and the Kingdom of Syria Turks from destabilizing the region. We're preventing the Shia Crescent from forming from Iran across northern Iraq and Erbil to the Mediterranean coast. We're protecting our allies, the Kurds. And it's like, guys, the Middle East is always going to be like this. It's been like this for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. If we pull out, it's going to go exactly back to the way it was. You're not going to fix things. Guess what? Sorry, folks. We're not special. Human Events continues more. The death of an American soldier here.
Grew up in the hood. I rolled with Bloods. And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily, and the death of an American soldier, the death of an American, a young girl, 24 years old, could have had a family, could have had kids. Actually, I'm not sure if she had children yet. I don't have quite all the information here. On this yet to come out, but 24 years old, the first name has been confirmed. I believe we have an image we can get up. Kennedy Landon Sanders, Specialist 04, and she was deployed in Jordan. She was deployed in Jordan, and she is not going to be coming home to her family because she was killed in this Iranian-backed drone strike. You know, Peachy, why is it that, you know, it falls to people like us in the, you know, we're like the, you know, very online, hardcore, domestic extremist right, you know, pun intended, that is talking about this when the media would have us focus on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and don't worry about what's going on in the Middle East and don't worry about World War III. And the fact, and I've been screaming all morning at the New York Post that they put the deaths of our soldiers below the fold and they put Travis and Taylor at the top of the head as if that's national news. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, there's so much going on. I mean, it's a distraction, number one, from everything that Biden's doing wrong. Like, they're hoping that you won't notice, you know, that the price of groceries has gone up and the price of like your new cat for all the cat ladies has gone up and just the country's in chaos and crime and immigration. Look at Taylor Swift, guys. Look at her cute red lips and there's Travis and oh my gosh, it is a Cinderella fairy tale come to life. So you are so, women and a lot, I know a lot of them are so invested in it, watching this true life fairy tale that they don't have time in the day to think about like, the actual, like, what's looming on the board, you know, in terms of foreign policy and war and at, like, apocalypse now, right? But look at that kiss. It's so cute. It's so pretty. It's so romantic. But it actually is a warning, I think, and I tweeted about this morning that I think you saw. This is a huge red flag for the GOP. I tweeted yesterday, like, look out. Here comes the election, you know, election eve concert with Taylor and Travis and Beyonce and Jay-Z and Michelle Obama. They're going to get the whole band back together to kind of bolster, you know, Dementia Joe, Genocide Joe. He needs all these people behind him. And so in that respect, it absolutely will become, you know, Taylor Swift as election interference. Just using, and you know, we know already that they're running with abortion first. Abortion is going to be the only thing they talk about. This is going to be, this election will be decided by women, by the abortion fanatic women and the Swifties. And that's what we're up against. And my concern, Jack, is that this is going to trigger an alarm bell in certain never Trump Republicans and think, oh, well, then I know what we need to do. We need to make Nikki Haley Trump's VP. That'll get them to vote for
no.
Trump.
Oh my
right?
gosh.
Right? She's the answer.
I can see the play. I can see the play right now. Tricky Nikki, they're going to, this is how they get her in. They're going to say, we need her in. We need to fight for this. This is how we get the Swifties on.
That's right.
I'm sure, you know, she's going to say, my daughter is a big Swiftie and she loves Taylor. And I love her so much. Her heels are just like my heels. And we are going to bring Iran to heel at the same time. You could see the writing on the wall. By the way, you mentioned that concert. I was actually at the concert in 2016 that Hillary held with Obama and the Clintons were there. It was in Philadelphia at Independence Hall. I want to say the Bidens were actually there as well. I could be wrong. But it was like all of like the, you know, the Democrat elite were all there. Mm-hmm. It was just a magical moment. One of the many magical moments I've had.
Was that the one? And
of course, by the way, go ahead.
Was that the one where Katy Perry was there and she wore that big blue cape that said Madam President?
I think that was earlier. I want to say that was earlier. That might have been the DNC, actually. That might have been, which was also in Philadelphia in 2016.
Right.
But I think that was actually at the DNC. You could be right. All of 2016 is kind of a blur to me at some points. but when I look at this, and I took so much heat from back in December or November, whenever it was, when they put Taylor Swift on the cover of the Time magazine. On the Time magazine, they said she's Person of the Year. And I said, this is clearly an operation. This is a PSYOP that is being activated at this point. And she was on every magazine cover, like Guns and Ammo, almost, you know, would have had her on the cover almost. And this idea that she was, and New York Times pushed, or excuse me, the National Rolling Stone pushed back on me, Forbes pushed back on me, crazy tinfoil conspiracy. Well, guess what? The New York Times has it this morning. Vivek Ramaswamy tweeted this out as well, that guess what, boys and girls, the Biden campaign is working on a plan that they call the Taylor strategy. And they're going to have Joe Biden appear with Taylor Swift at key points of her, I guess they call it the Eras Tour, that are happening in the U.S. So she's in Europe right now, well, Asia and then Europe. And then later
all
in the
summer.
Fall, guess what? She's going to be back in America. And oh, where should we? In the Midwest. What a coinky dink. It's just so fun how all of these things are just randomly happening all at once. It couldn't possibly connect it. We better not connect any of the dots. That would be what conspiracy theorists do, isn't it, Gigi?
Well, let me just correct you, fact check you a little bit. I did check on this. She finishes her Eras tour in Europe in London in August, and then she has a 2-month break. She will not be on tour again until after the election. But what that means is she's available. She's free. She has plenty of free time in September and October and early November to do whatever they'd like her to do. Now, the problem for her is she's usually hasn't been too political. I mean, her father's a Republican. She did come out against Trump. We know she's pro-choice. We know she's very pro-LGBTQ. But she hasn't said a word about, you know, Gaza or Israel. She has tried to be quiet while she's on this tour. So it will be very interesting to see if she's going to push all her cards, all her chips, I mean, into the Biden pot, because that could hurt her to some degree. I mean, the thing that people, I think, don't understand, maybe some men don't understand, is that her fan base is so rabid. I was at the concert in LA. Okay, I admit to going. And it is really a phenomenon. I mean, it's part like preacher, it's part God.
They're absolutely going to act it. Peachy, we're just about out of time. Where can people go to follow you and get more information to your book?
Yeah, peachykeenan.substack.com. My book, Domestic Extremists, is on Amazon.
Peachy Keenan, everyone, go follow her. Get the book, Taylor Swift. She'll be around in the Midwest, Louisiana, Miami this fall. The op is upon us, but what's falling are American soldiers in harm's way. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.